As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Lattermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com. And this week we are talking about time travel.
Yes, in two parts.
Right, we're going to tackle traveling into the past, but first, in this podcast, we're going to tackle traveling into the future, which is a pretty common element in science fiction, television shows, music, etc.
Have you ever wanted to travel into the future?
Well,
aside from the very slow pace at which we're traveling into the future right now.
Yeah, I was going to actually mention that. No, don't really want to travel into the future.
You wouldn't want to meet your future self. You're not curious about Robert Lamb and...
No, because all sorts of horrible things happen when you meet your future self. You know, like, have you seen Time Cop, right? No, you haven't seen Time Cop. But like two...
Is that with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah, this one with Jean-Claude Van Damme. And like the bad... Spoiler alert, but the bad guy ends up meeting himself in the future and they like scheme for a while, but then they get kicked into each other and they like melt and stuff. So, you know, it just doesn't look pleasant. Plus... Most of the time, traveling to the future ends up going to some horrible place with, you know, robots and dystopian, you know, system of government and, you know, the apocalypse and all.
Plus, you have more of a Zen outlook, if I'm reading that correctly, where you like to sort of just exist more in the present. Is that true?
No, I like that idea. You know, obviously, I'm no Zen master. So,
Robert Lamb, science writer and Zen master.
Yeah. you know, traveling into the future, I guess, would be kind of cool if you could just, it's just so many problems come with it, which we'll get into here. But yeah, at the very basics though, you know, we are all traveling into the future. That's what's happening. Like just then I just traveled into the future a little bit. So did you.
It's hard not to get stuck on it.
Yeah.
The passage of time.
Yeah. Like if, when you get down to it, you know, it's like, the present that we exist, we don't really experience. We only think about the passing moment. And then, that's in that one little moment, that's where we spend all this time thinking about the future, remembering the past. As it happens, though, we can sort of control the speed at which we travel into the future, or at least the speed that we experience it at, thanks to a little something called relativity. Einstein has a pretty famous quote on this.
I love this quote. Yeah. This is a great quote.
He says, quote, put your hand on a hot stove for a minute and it seems like an hour. Sit with a pretty girl for an hour, and it seems like a minute. That's relativity.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, I think I would argue with Einstein that it depends on the pretty girl, because what if she's talking about something really boring? You know? And it also brings to mind, like, if there was, you know, if you really, don't take this too literally, because you could not, say, build a time machine by just, like, filling it with beautiful women, you know, and having them, like, talk at you. Likewise, you couldn't live forever by constantly burning yourself. But there are some other things that actually do have major effects on the passage of time.
Okay.
One of the big ones, of course, quite literally, is mass. Like the physical mass of something.
Right. Mass alters time.
Right. Yeah, and this one's one that really, really kind of blows my mind a little. Global positioning satellites,
mm-hmm.
they gain about like a third of a billionth of a second every day. And that's one of the contributing reasons here is that they're farther away from the Earth, from its center of mass, which drags on time and slows it down. So, and then there was I think it was Stephen Hawking makes a great analogy with, or a great, you know, comparison with, like a pyramid, like large, you know, like one of the great pyramids, large center of mass.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're standing next to that, time is going to happen slower for you than it would if you're standing like out in the, you know, in the wastes. It would, you know, not in a sense that you could actually detect or experience, but it would be there. So, to actually travel into the future in any kind of meaningful way, you would need like an enormous amount of mass, though, like
a black hole.
Like a black hole, yeah. It's like you could go and do laps around it, essentially.
Right, right. A supermassive black hole, perhaps.
Yeah, like there's probably one kicking around the center of our galaxy.
Yeah. So, what would happen if you circled the black hole for a couple of years without falling in? If that's a key part. You'd return to an Earth where an entire decade had passed.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, you would experience like a year, they would experience a decade. You would have aged a decade, they would have aged a century. So it seems kind of like, it's even like explaining it and having read the explanations for it, it still kind of sounds like magic. But it's just, it's physics at work. Now, of course, another interesting one is the way speed alters time.
And this is called time dilation.
Yeah. This one's pretty snazzy. Has yet to work its way into a major movie plot. I was talking to a friend about this. We were like, man, they never work time dilation into a thriller, you know? Because it's such, this thing, it's like such a slight change. But this is one that we can actually measure. Alright, so time passes slower the closer you approach the speed of light. So if you had two identical clocks, you leave one at the station, you put one on a speeding train.
Right.
At the end of that train trip, the one that remained at the station would be just like a billionth of a second ahead of the one that was on the train.
Right.
Okay. Now that's not a lot. Even if you spent your whole life on,
it's not even enough to blink.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you couldn't get, like, really paranoid and be like, that's it. I'm going to live on a bullet train the rest of my life and I'm going to live forever. It's not going to happen. You'd have to, if the train could maybe attain like 99.999% speed, light speed, which is like ridiculous, speed, you know, impossible, you know, certainly with any foreseeable technology that we have right now.
Except only, perhaps in particle accelerators.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. That's true.
And that's really not commercially available.
It's hard to fit in
se.
One of those.
Yeah, I don't have a particle accelerator in my backyard. Do you?
No. But at that speed, 1 year would pass on board your accelerated train for every 223 years that passed back at the train station.
That's pretty insane.
So, yeah, you could essentially, like in a year's time, you get on board your time machine. And then travel for a year, and then you would essentially travel 223 years into the future. So that's pretty fascinating. And yeah, there's actually some more evidence for this in some of our observations we've made with particle accelerators.
Sure, over at CERN they've been checking into this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have these extremely short-lived particles called pi mesons, and
okay.
Ordinarily they disintegrate after just 25 billionths of a second.
Yeah.
But you accelerate them near light speed and they last 30 times longer.
Wow, that's practically a
practically nothing still, true. But still, it shows that, I mean, it's proof positive that this can be done. Whether it can ever be done in a way that actually allows human time travel, we'll see.
Okay, so we get on a really fast train, and that's one way we could travel into the mm-hmm. future. And by really fast, of course, we mean something approaching the speed of light, which mm-hmm. is not really on the table now. So what about another possibility, like wormholes, which we are also going to get into in the Traveling Back in Time podcast?
Yeah, there's some physicists believe that in the quantum foam, which is this tiny, tiny environment, smallest environment in the universe, there are just constantly wormholes popping into existence, linking one portion of space-time with another portion of space-time. And that conceivably, we could sort of grab onto one of these holes before it disappears, enlarge it enough to fly, say, a spaceship through it. And then voila, we'd come out somewhere, somewhen else, right?
Right, at another event in space-time.
Yeah, and of course that brings a number of problems with it, you know, like how do you choose which little tiny momentary hole in space-time to expand, and then how do you crawl through it, and
how do you expand it in the first place?
Yeah, and how do you not end up in some like horrible like hell world, you know, just like in the movies? That's what happens in the movies, is all I'm saying. So watch out. So yes, time travel in the future is possible. To a limited extent, we're doing it right now. If you hop on a train, or if you're listening to this on an airplane or in the car, you are experiencing it as well.
Perhaps that's not the answer you were looking for.
Yeah.
Perhaps you were looking to jet a century ahead or a few millennia ahead, and that's not really the case quite yet.
Right. Do not go stand next to a pyramid and blame us.
Of course, if you really love pyramids, then time might speed up, just like Einstein sitting with his pretty girl.
So on that note, do we have any listener mail to get into? I think we have a few letters sitting around here, don't we?
We do. We do. Do you want to read them this week?
Sure. What do we got? All right. This one comes from Calum, age 14. Hi, Allison and Robert. I'm a new listener, but downloaded some of your back episodes, of which I really like. I'd like to bring up the episode Amazing Infestations. You remember that one?
I do. That was a fun one.
Yeah. This isn't a complaint. I really like your podcast and all of the How Stuff Works podcasts. Admittedly, rats are classed as vermin, but they also make amazing pets. They're cute and as almost intelligent as dogs. They can swim half a mile without stopping and tread water for 3 hours. I've never tried this out. I have three rats, Smudge, Blizzard, and Cleopatra, Cleo for short, and have included photos so that you can see that rats are cute and not all vermin.
Cleo is my favorite.
Yeah, Cleo's pretty cute. They're all cute, like all like white rats, you know. Sorry that the photos are blurry, but the rats are fast runners. Thank you for reading this email from, and then he signs it. So yeah, and he included photos of all the rats, and they were cute, and certainly that's something worth mentioning, is that even though, you know, pretty much with any of these species that become a problem, a lot of it can be traced back to humans causing some imbalance in the environment, you know? Like at the very heart of things, like you have like a dense metropolitan area.
Sure.
Like a medieval city where everything's dirty and wretched and there's food available, and you have rat, you know, an explosion of rats living in the area. But you can't blame the rats. They're just, you know, responding to the environment that humans have artificially created.
Well, then also you think about those Christmas crabs that were overrunning Easter Island. Do you remember those mm-hmm. that we talked about those? And that infestation is a natural thing. It's short-lived. It happens. And admittedly, it's probably a little unsettling for your house to be overrun by Christmas crabs, but mm-hmm. it doesn't happen for a long time.
Yeah, and there's actually some, I remember reading some stuff about the Christmas crabs claiming that it happened because of, you know, some particular species ended up being eliminated, due to, you know, some other species being introduced on the island. And then there's another invasive species that's like hurting the crabs now. It's, you know.
Hurting the crabs or hurting the crabs? Like an Australian hurting? No.
I like the idea of the hurting. That would be amusing. It'd be like there was an old lady who's swallowed a fly, you know. Christmas crabs are out of hand, so they bring on the wolves to herd them around, and then they have herds of wolves. But anyway, cute rats.
Yeah,
what I'm trying
and
to
we
say.
Always like hearing from listeners. So thanks for writing, Calum, and we hope you said your name right.
And everyone out there, be sure and check out our Facebook and Twitter accounts.
Sure, we're on Stuff from the Science Lab and Lab Stuff over at Twitter.
Yeah, and you can do a search on, we'll show up as Lab Stuff on either one.
And if you guys want to send us an email, we always like hearing from you. We're at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.